What's the point?
Welcome to the inaugural broadcast of the What's the Point podcast featuring Ross Owen and Tejas, Texas Todd, and of course, me, Nightmare.
What's the point?
Pinocchio is Italian for pine eye. Did you know that?
No.
The only Italian I speak is ciao and bello. So good and bye is all I get.
Did we need to know that Pinocchio meant pine eye?
We don't need to know, but it's random, and we could sit and discuss it for half an hour. Or
can we really discuss pine eye for half an hour?
What's the point?
Clinophobia is a fear of something. Let's see if anyone actually knows it.
Okay, we'll put that up there and let people know. Clinophobia, however you want to pronounce it, is the surprise word of the day. At any point in time, you think you know the answer, text it, call us up, let us know what it is, and we will give you secret internet cookies for life if you actually get it right. Without Googling, don't be doing research. You just got to know it off the top of your head. Because if you don't, well, then you're doing it wrong.
What's the point?
This morning I woke up and was good. And when I had a great morning is when they implode Texas Stadium. How awesome is that?
That's a great morning, especially if you're a Texan fan instead of a Cowboy fan. That was this morning when they demolished the old one?
They demolished the old one, and what would have been better is if they would have pushed the button and the new one would have went up.
Well, I think
Jerry Jones in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you better put Jerry inside of that.
Yeah, that would have been great.
He's kind of a douchebag. I don't think Ross has any idea what we're talking about, but the Dallas Cowboys owner and new stadium guy, he spent like $6 billion on a new stadium for the Dallas Cowboys to play in, and it's kind of a colossal fucking mess. It seats 100,000 or 120,000 plus. You can put like 50,000 people outside the stadium that I don't know if they sell cheaper tickets for it. If you don't want to watch the game inside live, you can watch it on giant televisions outside, and he's kind of built a mall on the outside of the stadium. And the inside seats, I think it does seat 100,000 people. And they have like
the world's
largest television hanging down in the middle of it that the very first game somebody played in, they punted the ball, which is, I don't know if you've ever watched American football, but they kicked after three downs, they kicked the ball to the other team, and the punter actually, and I think he did it on purpose, because I think he wanted to let everybody know that this was a fucking waste of money and time, hit the television screen with the football. He kicked it so high, and it bounced off of it, and it was like, okay, dead ball. And we're like, well, yeah, it was, and then they said, you know, you got to fix that. And Jones says, nope, you had a rule in there that says it couldn't be any lower than this. It's not. He did it on purpose. Fuck you. Which I have to agree with Jerry. If you're going to put rules in there, then you have to follow them as well. And whoever makes them can't just, you know, arbitrarily change them to fit one guy's dream of a new stadium or whatever the fuck it was.
Well, I just can't stand the Dallas Cowboys. I can't stand the whole... Don't declare yourself America's team. Seriously?
What's the point?
The seating, the America's team call came from Sports Illustrated back in 77. I think it was 77. 77 or 78. They actually labeled
the Cowboys
America's team. And then in 81, they switched it to the Raiders when the Raiders won the Super Bowl. They said the new America's team because that was when everyone jumped on the Raider bandwagon. And it just seemed to stick with the Cowboys because they got squeaky clean again and made the America's team back in the 80s, 90s with Troy and the rest of the gang.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that wasn't themselves that did that. They just keep getting it handed to them. And unfortunately, last 5 or 10 years, they haven't been able to live up to it.
No, but they got a new stadium.
Yeah, we're gonna build you a brand new house to fucking lose in.
See, now they pissed me off when I drove all the way from Houston to Dallas to go to one of the last games at the old Dallas Stadium and the Texas Stadium, and it was basically run into the ground. Homeless people I think they just let homeless people into the game at the end.
Well, that was gonna be their new house.
Yeah,
that's why. It's like, hey, I get the Jerry Jones suite. You're not homeless enough.
That's it. Take a dump in the corner.
What's the point?
Tourists visiting Iceland should know that tipping at a restaurant is considered an insult.
I had no idea.
How good a place is that to live when you say, there you go, there's $5. They go, no, no, no. And they take offense to you giving them a tip.
That's it's insanity. Somebody hands me money, I'm taking it. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, I was in a job once in a hotel and they said you weren't allowed to take tips. Ha! Like I didn't take tips.
Right.
I just didn't take tips when the manager was looking.
You know, one of the other things about Iceland that I really enjoy is that they have some of the cheapest electricity on the planet.
Because, cheapest electricity?
Yeah, they drill down to just above the core of the Earth, and they run all their turbines off steam.
Geothermal stuff, huh?
Yeah, geothermal electricity.
Nice. Oh, yeah, that's like my internet over here. I just...
Your geothermal internet?
I'm going to next door's internet. I just run a wire cable right into their house and... Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your auntie.
Say that again. Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your auntie.
Yes.
I think he's drinking already.
No, Bob, have you never heard the expression, Bob's your uncle?
No.
No.
And if my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a wagon. Come on. You crazy Scots and your funny colloquialisms.
What's the point?
Todd, you were telling us last week about a hermaphrodite dog your sister owns.
Wow.
I want to know...
I was taking a drink there and I almost swallowed the glass. I didn't see that one coming. Sorry, carry on.
So it's my sister-in-law. And she had a miniature dachshund and had to put it to sleep. So this dog had all kind of problems before. She decided she was going to get another one and was going to adopt it from some kind of miniature dachshund safe house, whatever. So she got this dog, and she was telling the whole story. And it was actually Easter weekend, and I was at my mother-in-law's house. And so I get to listen to all these great stories, which I don't want to be there anyway. But anyway, it's a whole other story. So she got this dog. She went to take it to get it spayed. Because it looks like a female dog. Well, come to find out, the vet comes out and he's like, your dog has both male and female parts. So,
wow.
Of course, my question was and didn't go over very well. Well, did you have to pay twice?
That's the first thing that came to my mind.
That's the first thing that came to my mind. You have to pay to get it both done. And
evidently, you do have to?
No. They just they did it all in one.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay.
It's the same cut, I guess.
I've never heard of a hermaphrodite dog, never.
I've only seen hermaphrodites on porn. So
yeah.
And I was told that Jamie Lee Curtis was a hermaphrodite, and they chose girl, and had the internal wiener whacked off when she was a baby.
Oh wow! I'd had to.
Oh, absolutely. It's not like she was raised till the age of 30 and then said, you know what, let's take that penis off. And I don't know that I'd have a problem with an actual transgender one of the people who were born in the wrong body. But the guys that are just gay that say, you know what, I want to be a woman, that freaks me out a little bit. Or they go halfway through with it, and I don't like boobs on penises. That's just,
That's wrong.
It's weird.
You never hear of anybody wanting to be a hermaphrodite. Nobody goes in and asks for another. Can I have? I want to keep the. I would like to keep the willy, and but could you also throw a little vagina in there for me as well, please? Just in between the bum and the willy.
Yeah, can you turn my taint into a pleasure zone, please?
Can you imagine that? I mean, how does that work with seahorses? Because I believe seahorses have both sexual organs. Does that mean they're hermaphrodite?
I don't think so. I think they are. They're asexual. They're not hermaphrodite. They're asexual. Since they're born with both, however, they can I think the difference between a hermaphrodite and an asexual person is asexuals can reproduce without somebody else. Hermaphrodites can't do that. They just have the organs, not the ability to put one into the other and create life.
So that sounds good to me. I think I want to be an asexual. It means you would never need a sexual, but you could just keep doing it to yourself. Somebody says, go yourself. You could.
Right. Except I don't know anybody's willy that bends that way. Now, if you were to make me a hermaphrodite, I would want the vagina on my hand or arm somewhere. You know, somewhere in the forearm region or in the hand, and then you could just, yeah, you know, okay, I'll be there.
I already have a vagina in my hand. Constantly. Yeah, it's the only time I have sex is Palm Sunday, once a year. Does that count?
Well,
does
just think how much more fun it would be to shake hands.
Sorry, my hands were.
I'm sorry, my hands are sticky.
You could be shitting out your ear. Back to poop.
Just think how much easier it'd be to go skiing if you could shit out your ear. Hang on a minute, guys. I got to take a dump. Okay, we're done. Let me get a Q-tip in here.
You'd constantly be hearing that whistle going out.
Yeah, I guess if you had a vagina in your hand, you'd make for hard skydiving.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you sneezed and you're blowing poop on your neighbor, that'd be bad.
Came out your nose, yeah.
Well, no, because, you know, sometimes when I sneeze when I have diarrhea, I hope I'm sitting on the shitter when I sneeze. Otherwise, it's a trip to the laundromat. Or it gets put into a bag and thrown away with the rest of the trash. Like, holy crap, I ruined those. I ain't putting those in my washing machine.
What's the point?
The point apparently is to see how gross we can get without actually saying things like, I hate it when shit gets on my penis. When I stick it in my nose, which is now an ass, and my vagina is on the palm of my hand.
This is one ugly-looking chick, whoever she is. She's going to have a big nostrils for a start.
Well, as long as we're rearranging things, we're going to put the ass in the nose and the vagina on the hand. I think we need to put at least one boob on the back just for dancing.
Can you imagine being at a strip club and she's on? Show us your nose! Show us your nose!
They wear veils. And gloves, and that's it.
Yeah, that's in the Middle East. Strippers in the Middle East, the guys all shout, show us your face.
Oh, that's horrible.
Show us that ankle. Come on.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible.
What's the point?
We can become a religion. This is your Sunday morning religion religious experience from What's the Point. Now, I don't know what religion you guys practice, or if you do practice a religion, or if you were raised with one and decided that it was all hokey. Religion to me is one of those funny things that I like to talk and question, because I was questioning religion when I was being raised Catholic. And Jenna, my co-host on Black Sky Radio, she's religious, and she felt the calling a couple of years back that she was missing something out of her life, and it was that void was filled with Christianity. And I have no problem with that. I think if you want to be part of that world, I think it's fantastic. If you are one of the people and need to be have things explained to you, how to be good and when to be good and why to be good, and you need to gather with other people to solidify that in and amongst yourself, That's fine.
I think it's good for children, to be honest. I think it sets children on the right path to a certain extent. I mean, I was brought up with the boy and the Boys Brigade. Do you guys have the Boys Brigade over there?
Is that like the Boy Scouts?
Similar. Except it's more, it's run by the church. And I went to Sunday school. Of course, you guys have Sunday school. And Sunday school for us was like when they did it in Little House on the Prairie. You remember Sunday school in Little House on the Prairie? And it was like that. That's what it was like for me as a kid. And I don't think there's anything wrong in that, because I think that's what's missing today. There's a lot of people are out there, young kids. And when I was that age, I wasn't a big Christian. It was only maybe once or twice a week you would go, but it was all integrated with fun as well. It wasn't, you know, all strict. Jesus this, Jesus that. You know,
well,
and that was just part of it.
And see, that's the problem that I had when I was a kid. And see, this it's a good point, Ross, and I appreciate what you're saying, and I agree that children should have a lot of the same disciplinary feel to being grown up as possible, as much as possible. I think if we force our kids to go to church and to be part of their community before they decided to rebel, then some of that might stick further and you might have more respect for the older people. But it also allows me to believe that until they, you know, when they start questioning things, they should be allowed to find out a lot of that information on their own elsewhere, which is kind of what happened with me. I mean, I was raised Catholic, got to the point where I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Why do we go to church to feel afraid again? And I don't know. I'm not trying to get down on Catholics at all. But I was baptized. I was confirmed. I was raised in it. We had all of the holidays, which later found out that 99.9% of them were all stolen from the pagans, which, by the way, was a religion practiced by everybody on the planet, right up until they found out that if you turn all of this into one guy did something, then you can control the masses. You know, Constantine and the Council of Nicaea, where they picked and chose what books they were going to put in and which ones they were going to leave out. Because, you know, the writings that they have, that the Bible is based on, were not the only writings about those same people or by those same people. It's just the ones that they were put in the book to control the masses.
To sell more copies.
Right. And, you know, they decided all that. They got all the religious leaders together, and they said, which ones do you want? And they all voted, and they said, okay, this is the good ones. We can control more people by keeping these in. And then that's why you get all these crazy stories, you know, where the religious leaders had more power than the kings. Not that it was an overly bad thing, but it did become overly bad, and which is why when we left England for America 200 plus years ago, we have the separation of church and state, because we didn't want our religious leaders running things, even though it doesn't seem to have worked that well, because we still have to deal with the bullshit of whose religion, who's voting which way on what issue because of whatever religion they're based out of.
Right.
The right wing seems to think that if you don't believe in some sort of Christianity, you're wrong and get out of our country. And the left wing says, hey, we're all here for religious freedom. You can practice anything you want. You can't just go out willy-nilly and start all the religions you want to. Well, yes, you can. You know, it's a complete muddled mess. And I find it really interesting, because I'm not saying that there isn't a God. I'm not saying there is a God. I'm saying that for millions of years, everybody on the planet practiced the same thing, and it was all cool. The solstice, the stars, partying when it was after raising the crops, the partying to bring on the new crops, you know, all the fun stuff, Christians just stole and renamed. They rebranded, marked it up, and moved it on, is what they did. It was the original retail scheme to get more people to buy into it. And they did a great job of it. Because back in those days, that's where we got the Inquisitions. You know, that's where you got the Holy Wars, the Jihads, the whatever you want to call them. That's how they got their converts. And, you know, it's convert or die. Well, yeah, what are the odds? Which one are you going to take? Well, I guess I'll just tell this one guy instead of these 14 people how I feel about my good crops. But I just find that interesting, and it drives a lot of people insane because they have a shut circuit when it comes to speaking of religion.
Yeah, they don't like being told their religion's bad.
Well, and it's not their religion that's bad. It is religion is bad.
Right.
You know, it's created to increase sheep and not create open thinking.
Do as you're told.
Well, it's like you go back to the days of the covenant with the Jewish religion, and they're, you know, don't eat pork, it's a filthy animal. That's not why they didn't want to eat pork back then. They didn't want to eat pork back then because if you don't eat it within minutes of it being cooked, you get trichinosis and you just shit yourself, and diarrhea was the number one killer of people back then.
So, and we're back to poop.
So if you eat pork with no refrigeration, you get the runs so bad that you die. Well, the easiest way for them to get people to stop eating pork is to say, God said don't eat pork. Same way with the Muslims. You live in an area that averages 100 degrees every day, 365. How long is that pork going to last? You can't dry pork and make pork jerky out of it. What you make is poison.
Either fry it or die.
Right. Either cook it or die. That's it. Beef, goat, any of that other stuff, camel, totally fine if you dry it. Pork, on the other hand, kill you dead. So that's the kind of witchery that they've based these religious doctrines on for thousands of years. You know, back in the pagans were all like, yeah, we get it. You got to eat the pork right away. Cook it. That's why it's a traditional feasting day thing, because you raise it all, but when you kill it, you cook it, you eat it, end of story. That's how that works.
Can I interrupt this broadcast?
No.
To say that in the chat room, our pleasant co-host, Todd, has just announced that he knows what clinophobia is.
All right.
I'm not going to quote you're right.
Has it suddenly just come to you, or did you give in and Google it?
I found the page that you're on. I found your interesting facts website, so I'm going
to
keep my mouth
shut. Everybody in the chat room, don't be going to the page that I'm on about strange facts. It's called nononsense.com. Don't go there, because the answer is there.
They're all going there right now.
Was that one of Mike's effects, or has he just gone? Is it just?
Yeah. Don't go to the same page. Otherwise, the questions don't get near as fun, and you'll get this. Fail.
And if you get the answer right, you will hear. I'm going to put Mike in the spot. You will hear this noise.
The correct answer.
He's fumbling, Todd. He's fumbling.
I'm sorry. Well, they don't really have a correct answer. Here, in an emergency, I'll play this. Oh, it doesn't actually play. What the hell?
Do you have a fanfare?
I don't have any fanfare.
Okay, here. Something's going wrong with the sound.
Oh, that's perfect.
That was actually Mike.
I was just about to say the same thing. That wasn't an effect.
Yeah, I don't have a fanfare button. I don't have a clapping or nothing. Nothing.
Okay, something screwy is going on with the audio at my end. Is it okay out there for everybody else?
That sounds good, Ross.
I'm getting a little clipping, but other than that, it's okay. But I think it's because I'm screwing around with the soundboard.
It was just a little choppy there for me, so but it's all right now, it seems, yeah. And for any new listeners who have just joined us, you can Skype in. All you have to do is Skype. Skype is at what's the point on Skype, which is the username, and we're going to type that into the chat room. And you can join in and call us and talk about anything you like.
Are you typing into the chat room? Because I don't see anything. Now the crazy sound clipping's back.
How's that? Is it okay now? Huh? Am I coming through loud and clear?
There's a touch of clipping on the end of it.
Yeah, I'm hearing an echo. What I maybe do is jump off and come back on Skype. See if it refreshes the connection.
Okay. So while Ross is gone, let's talk about him. Todd? Did we lose Todd too? Am I here by myself? That's fantastic. I don't hear Todd. I don't hear Ross.
Do you hear me now?
I hear you now, yes.
Can you hear me?
I got both of you guys back on now.
I don't know what happened. I didn't even disconnect. What's up with that?
I have no idea.
What's the point of that, huh?
Okay, so how is the sound right now?
I think the sound is better.
It sounds great.
I think that we probably need to talk about an end time.
Yeah, well, for this edition, which was the debut edition and a sort of a tryout for us, we would first of all like to thank everybody who's joined us. And we're going to iron out a few things, get the technical problems sorted, and we shall probably end soon on this particular edition. But in the future, I would think we could maybe do 2 or 3 hours if everybody's willing to stay with us that long.
Yeah, we could easily do a couple hours worth of chatting. 3 might be pushing it, but yeah, we could easily come on here and do however long it takes. If you haven't seen the movie Pump Up the Volume, I think we should use his dynamic as how long we're going to be on.
There you go.
Which is basically sometimes he's on for 10 hours, sometimes he's on for 10 minutes.
There it is.
And you just got to catch it at the right time and day and go, oh, crap, I must have missed him. But
yes,
then,
Todd is the Scarlet Pimpernel.
I don't even know what the Scarlet... I know it's a book. I know it was written by a famous dude, but I have no idea what it's about. So you're going to have to explain Scarlet Pimpernel.
They seek him here. They seek him there. I just know it's a dude that keeps going missing and he's hard to find. That's all I know.
Is he like a spy?
So you actually didn't read it.
No idea. No idea. No idea at all. That's my review. A dude that goes missing a lot. Look it up. Google it. Somebody Google the Scarlet Pimpernel.
I think my Google is broken.
I beg your pardon?
I said I think my Google is broken.
Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me. Did you break your leg in the process?
Yes.
Well, Todd is going to do his impression of the Scarlet Pimpernel because he has other commitments today because it's Sunday morning. Maybe he's got church to go to.
No church.
Well, yeah, my church ended in February 4th, by the way, and it doesn't pick up again until August. So until that day.
Nice. I already
until the August, I will have nothing to do. Huh?
He worships at the altar of NFL.
Yes. The National Football League altar.
All right.
It's funny because I have picture-in-picture, big screen TV running with a picture-in-picture. I also have my Sirius satellite boombox, which I throw the antenna up on the roof every morning, and I can watch and listen to just about everything I need to. It's fantastic for being a Raiders fan in Kansas City.
Tailgating in the house.
Oh, absolutely. The bathroom is never more than 20 feet away. The kitchen has all the amenities. And 9 times out of 10, if I need to pause something to take a load off, I can. And we're back to pooping.
Now, oh, what goes around comes around. That is just unbelievable. All day, the buzzword has been poop. And we did have another word, which we asked you earlier if you knew the meaning of. We all know that you've already Googled it. You already know the answer. You just don't want to tell us because we all know that you've Googled it. But Todd is going to tell you the answer anyway. He's going to tell you what the word clinophobia means. Todd.
Clinophobia, the fear of beds.
The fear of beds.
Beds.
Absolutely correct.
Who the hell is afraid of a fucking bed?
People with clinophobia.
Where do they sleep? Chairs, floor, couch? And seriously, let's get philosophical on this. If you're asleep on one, doesn't it imply it's a bed?
This is true. Well,
So your fear is completely irrational, and that's an irrational fear that needs to be stricken from the books, and those people who say they have it, beaten.
Okay, now, your wife has informed us that clinophobia is a fear of sleeping.
So not just beds.
Or is she asking us if it's a fear of sleeping?
She's saying it's a fear of sleeping.
Mm. Well, on Ross's little page, it says fear of beds.
Yeah, I take absolutely nothing to do with that page.
Well, I'm three credits short of my medical degree, so I can't say one way or the other on whether this is true.
So it's either a fear of beds or a fear of sleeping. Either way, that's one you've got to deal with. I mean, who's never slept? Who's never personally? Who in the world has never slept? Everybody sleeps.
Right.
You have no choice.
Well, there's one guy in India that says he hasn't fell asleep for 75 years or something. There's one of those gurus who just doesn't sleep.
I call bullshit.
I would have to say that that's some strong meditation. His kung fu is great, if that's the truth.
I bet it must be all wrinkly.
Well, yeah, because you need sleep to regenerate cells. So he is made of leather. Or he is a big fat liar.
Yeah, it probably looks like an elephant's scrotum.
I've never seen an elephant's scrotum. However, I have seen an elephant's vagina. Here's a funny story. Me and a couple other guys go to Reno, Nevada for a weekend. And we decide that for once, instead of just pissing away all of our money at the tables, we should probably try and do something interesting, like go see a show. Excuse me. And one of the shows that was there was a band called Exile. They had a couple of hits in the 80s. Actually, I think one hit in the 80s. And they were playing at a place called Johnnasquaga's Nugget out in Sparks, Nevada. And one of the big draws of Johnnasquaga's Nugget is, in between musical acts or comedians, John would bring out this elephant that he had rescued from a failing traveling circus. And this elephant would come out, and she was, when he bought her, she was abused, undernourished, about to die. All the horror stories you've heard about, you know, circuses, they couldn't afford to feed her the good stuff, so they just fed her whatever, you know, turned her loose in a pasture and she ate grass, kind of a thing. So he bought this elephant and nursed her back to life, and then she became part of the act at the Nugget. And we go to this show to see Exile, and we get to our seats, which was just like normal gangster seats. I mean, it was a table and a booth, and we're sitting there, and I am already shit-faced. I mean, I am plowed. And I continue to drink because, hey, that's what college kids do. Regardless of how drunk you get, you continue to drink. Well, the first opening act ends, and they bring this elephant out. And I'm like, holy shit, look at the size of that elephant. And they start doing tricks. And one of the tricks was, is she turned and faced the audience and stood up on her hind legs and trumpeted. And she's got her big feet up in the air and she's standing on her back two legs. And when she does this, you see this ancient elephant's labia majora. And I apparently, a little too loudly, said, holy shit, look at that elephant's vagina. And I was punched upon from all directions from the guys that I'm with. Because I said, this is the biggest pussy I've ever seen. They didn't think that was near as funny as I did. Yeah. I've never seen the balls of an elephant, though. However, I've seen a vagina you could, crawl into.
Yeah. I'm sure they're bigger than boulders.
Yeah, they kind of have to be. I mean, she's a 4-ton animal.
Mountains of testicle. Mountains of it.
And where do... I've never seen... I've never seen a female elephant's udders. Do they have to give milk, right?
An elephant's udders.
Yeah, how do the baby elephant's teats? Their boobies.
They probably look like stalagmites or stalactites or something. Like jiggly ones that wobble about.
Right.
Why are we talking about an elephant? This show definitely has the right title, I have to say. We're talking about, if you've just joined us, we're talking about elephant scrotums, elephant mountains, which are testicles, elephant vaginas, and of course, we're now on to elephant nipples, I think.
Well, udders. Yeah. I just said I've never seen any. That's all I was saying.
Do they have?
Well, see, that's what I want to know. Is it like a dog where you got one for every pup? Or you should have one for every pup? Or you got a row of 10 or whatever?
Did it give birth to... How many baby elephants do elephants normally give birth to? Is it like just one or two? Or do they like give birth to like 20?
No, normally it's one. And the gestation period is like 16 months or something. The little fella grows inside mama for like a year and a half. I don't know exactly the right point because I am a few credits short of my veterinarian degree, so I don't know the actual gestation period per se, but I do know it's almost twice as long as a human.
I suppose if an elephant did give birth to like 20 elephants, that would be one super vagina, wouldn't it? That would be like one prominent vagina there.
It would be like a Pez dispenser. Just keep like flicking the head back and elephants were shooting out like candy. Or maybe an elephant slot machine. You pull the leg and you get a new elephant.
Bingo.
Just throwing them out there.
This is the only show, ladies and gentlemen, that you'll hear on a Sunday talking about elephant vaginas.
Well, we already covered religion. And there's no religion that actually covers elephant vaginas, so... We need to move on and get into the vaginas of all animals and species. Not that I'm saying I want to get into a vagina on an animal. I'm just saying.
If we're really clever, we could wind up this whole thing by getting onto the elephant's bum
poop.
And elephant poop.
Well, that reminds me of a joke. This guy was working for the circus, and he's always complaining because he's the poop collector for the elephant. And he's walking around going, God, I just wish that this elephant would stop pooping. I have to clean up elephant poop every day, 365, all the time. I got to put it in the cart. I got to haul it off. I got this amazingly crappy job, pardon the pun. And one of his buddies finally had enough of this and said, dude, if you hate picking up the shit so bad, why don't you quit? And he turned and looked at him and said, what, and leave show business?
I tell you what, get your sound effects ready, because I'm going to tell you a story. You get Indian elephants, you get African elephants, okay? Okay, not yet, smart ass. I feel like I'm sitting here under the stars on my own, talking to myself now with that noise in the background. Crickets there.
Do you have crickets in Scotland?
No, just golf and snooker.
No, fantastic. The bug. not the game.
Oh yeah, no, nah, no, we don't get. Yeah, I don't think we get crickets here. Do we get crickets here? There's little noises. I don't think so. No, I don't think they're here.
What kind
Scottish
of
crickets?
All right, well, go ahead with your story before we get into the nocturnal noises of Scotland.
Okay, well, I was on a bus one time, and there was two Indian men having a conversation, and one said
Wait,
to the other,
"Indian men."
Indian men, yes.
Dots or feathers?
Yeah, dots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta.
Well, the men don't have the dots. The ladies have the dots.
Right,
if
but
you scratch, you win a car.
Right, but you have to clarify that because otherwise we have Indians over here that have nothing to do with dots. They have feathers.
Yes, I think that what's Tears. Coming will indicate what type of Indian person I'm speaking about, and this is no way racist. It's just a fact. The two men were sitting on a bus. And they were having a conversation, and I overheard this conversation, and it went a bit like this. I am telling you, it is womb. And the other guy says, no, it is womba. No, I am telling you now, it is womb. It is not womb, it is womba. It's womb, it's womba, it's womb, it's womba. And this little old lady decides to butt in the conversation. She says, I'm sorry to interrupt your conversation, gentlemen, but it's I can sort this argument out for you right now. It's actually womb. And the Indian man says, I am sorry, madam, but I am quite sure you have never even heard an elephant fart.
that's
true story. That's as sure as I'm sitting on a camel.
Right. And why are you sitting on your cigarettes?
We don't have that crap over here.
What cigarettes. What cigarettes do you smoke then?
Social Security king size.
Social Security king size?
Cheapest ones. No, I smoke Lambert and Butler. Personally.
That's funny.
L and B.
Okay, have you been watching the new show, The Pacific?
Yes.
Okay, there is a scene that really struck home with me. It's either in the first or second episode of The Pacific where one of the captains walks in and is talking to the guys, and he notices that they're smoking Raleigh cigarettes, and the captain goes, what are you doing smoking Raleigh? He said, oh, come on now. You know they don't give us lucky strikes. Those are saved for the upper echelon. And the captain throws him a pack of lucky strikes.
Yeah.
My grandfather was in the Pacific. And
yeah.
he was a sergeant of a recon command car. And he smoked Raleigh's until the day he died. And I had no idea where he's got this habit because they came with this little Sir Walter Raleigh bucks, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. back in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would collect these things. And I had no idea where he ever picked up the habit until I saw that. And I'm like, well,
wow.
He smoked those fucking things. He spent the whole time under warfare chewing those crappy filterless things down.
There you go. That's amazing. That's how much detail these guys go to, because it's a terrific show.
Yeah, it was. I've been doing research on who he, where he fought and who he fought under, since I watched the Band of Brothers, because he wasn't ever in the European theater. He was only in the Pacific theater, and he was a little older than a lot of the guys who were already there. And he came in as a private, like everybody else, ended up as a sergeant, and command car commander. And he was in recon, which recon for armored infantry, they say, why don't you go check out how many people are over there and come back and tell us. and he would it's go zooming bad. Around with his car and, you know, shoot some and run back and go, okay, everybody's over there.
Like, just like the way they do it in the show?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though, it's good. The Pacific is good, but I still have a preference to Band of Brothers over it. Maybe it was because it was the first one, I don't know, but they're different. They are different, yet similar.
Yeah, it's really. I think the main difference is because it's two different genres. There are the army in the ground pounders were all in the European theater. In the Pacific, you had the Marines with a little bit of army support because my grandfather was in the 716th Tank Battalion Army, yeah. Armored Infantry. And they came in with the Marines, and they actually were known as, with some of these Marines, they were the only unit that were labeled 716th Marine Division by the other Marines, not an actual title from the armed services, but the Marines they fought with gave them the honorary title of being Marines because they fought so hard.
Yeah.
And they did so well. Which to me is, you know, obviously a point of pride for my grandfather, but he never talked about the war. You couldn't get him to say two words besides "I'll never play cribbage again," and that one time he told my mother that he got drunk enough to tell my mother that they sent him into a position to do cleanup, to do a mop up job, and they sent him into a place that was untouched by war. So he walked into a fucking buzzsaw and came back with a handful of nobody. I mean, he was in the Philippines, Luzon, and there was one more island that they were taking. But if you look at the Battle of Luzon and the Battle of Philippines, it was two of the worst massacres for the opposition in the entire war. I mean, there was Okinawa, I think, was the other place that he was at. But the Battle of Luzon, American soldiers, American casualties were about 10,000. Enemy casualties was 10 times that, 100 times that. It was 150-some-odd thousand casualties on the enemy side. And the same way with Luzon and Okinawa. I mean, we walked in and it was an absolute mess.
Yeah,
but it's kind of interesting to go back through and see my grandfather was in the headquarters and headquarters command, which is directly under MacArthur. So when he said I'll be back, he was going to be bringing these guys with him.
It's amazing. I mean, I could listen to stories like that all day, but as you say, some of the old guys, and as you can see in programs like Band of Brothers and The Pacific, some of the old boys who have been there and done it have a lot of sad memories of friends being killed and stuff, and they find it difficult to talk about. And but I could really sit there and listen and just, I find it amazing. And it's made me look at older people with a totally different light when you realise that these guys did this all those years ago so that we didn't have to, what they went through and the sacrifices they had to make. It's just, it's beyond belief, you know?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, and that was one of the things that I was talking with some people yesterday about my grandfather and his service to the country and how when he got back, I will never know if I will be bald or not. Because they say that gene is carried from your mom's dad. Well, he got a high and tight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's what I
thought.
I
thought it was from your natural father.
Uh-uh. It's from your mom's father.
Oh, there's hope for me yet then. That's cool.
Well,
he had a big head of hair, my mom's dad.
Oh, good.
But my own father's bald as a coot.
I think you're well off then.
He combed his hair with a sponge.
That's funny.
He wasn't bald per se. He just had a lot more face to wash than the rest of us.
Right.
That's what he used to tell me.
Well, my grandfather got his high and tight when he went to boot camp, and he died with it 60 years later, or 40 years later, I should say. So he that was his haircut. But he also would drink anywhere between a half gallon and full gallon of whiskey every day. And in between whiskey drinks, he would drink beer. And he just, I know for a fact that whatever it was that happened in the 4 years that he was in changed him so dramatically that all he could do was farm and drink.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to no other end but to try and drown the demons that he witnessed while serving in the military in World War II.
Yeah. You can understand that. You can understand that. I mean, it's traumatic, to say the least.
Oh, without a doubt.
And any trauma can often lead to alcohol, and it's just an escape, isn't it? It still happens today. People do it. This is the counselling. I don't think is there, especially back then. They probably wouldn't have had the counselling. They could probably, I mean, even today. I mean, look at some of the soldiers coming out today. They don't do enough after they leave the army or the navy. I don't think that they get the help that they deserve, because there's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of mental anguish there, and I think there's a certain amount of abuse there for people when they come out of the army and stuff, out of the forces.
Well, and not to discount,
not abuse. I would say negligence rather than
right.
abuse.
Negligence is a better word for it, but not to discount what the soldiers of today are seeing and are involved in at all. I don't want to discount that. However, with the mechanized warfare that we use today, I think it is infinitely less stressful than...
Well, yeah, the guys definitely had it harder back in the day. Without a doubt, technology was different, and there was a lot more... You had to manually kill more people than... Whereas now you could do it with a machine. You're absolutely right. You can do more from a distance now, etc.
Yeah, you don't... And I'm not saying that they don't have the traumas of war, but I think the way that the people, I think the way that we've raised this generation of soldier as children, I think has changed the way we look at it. Because back in the day when my grandfather was in the war, and these guys wanted to go in and fight for the war and fight for their country, and to end the oppression of the Germans and the evil the Axis Party, the Germans and the Japanese and the Italians, the mindset is so different, because back then, whatever you saw was your burden to carry, and you dealt with that any way you could. Some people don't have any problem talking about it because they compartmentalized it into war. Some people don't have any problem talking about it because they understood it was their duty. Some people do have problems talking about it because it was horrific, and a lot of them turn directly to drugs and or alcohol to numb it. Whereas today's soldier has a lot different avenues and attitudes that the 60s basically brought out in the Vietnam War era. I mean, same way my dad fought in Korea. Thankfully, he joined early, and instead of waiting to be drafted. But he got put on a seaplane tender, which was at the back of the pack, so he didn't see any action except from a distance, because they were loaded with gas and fuel, gas and ammunition for submarines and seaplanes. But today's soldier has more avenues than any of the other people had to try and rectify the horrors of war, and even those horrors of war are a lot less than the previous soldiers had to deal with. And I'm just glad that the avenues are that we still see somewhat negligent. They're still 10 times greater than what they were 40 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's a terrific topic, and we should definitely talk more about this sometime in more detail, because this is one of the things that I'm very interested in, and I'm sure a lot of people out there listening who haven't seen programs like Band of Brothers or which do educate us, is, you know. We can maybe having conversations like this, we can educate people as well, because there's a lot of things people just don't know, and I certainly didn't know until recently, and it gives you a whole new outlook on people.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you're right, but to be true to the show, I want to make sure that we at least bring it back to where we started and let these guys know that the soldiers, no matter what war they're fighting in, basically shit in a hole. So now we're back to the poop, and we're good to go.
And that's a great link there.
Well, I think for an inaugural show, that this has went extremely well. And I want to make sure that everybody knows that to come back here every week. And I think Sunday at this time is perfect for me.
And for me.
And for Texas there. We got two perfects. And for you, Ross?
Yeah, Saturdays or Sundays are good for me.
Okay, so we'll run it on Sunday at this point in time.
Okay.
And we will make sure that for some reason the Ustream record feature didn't work, so we don't have. I have it recorded as a podcast on my machine.
Okay, that's
fine. I have the record, but we don't have anywhere to upload this on Ustream right this second.
Okay, so coming your way from week to week, listeners, there will be a recorded. If you missed a live broadcast of the podcast. There will be a recorded version here on Ustream for you to check into. If you are listening live, you can Skype in and you can participate on upcoming things like the quiz. We shall have a trivia quiz where you can participate, and we shall probably have guests, I think, over the coming weeks as well on the show, and you can send in questions for the guests.
Yeah, I tried to get Ralph Macchio, but he didn't reply back to me yet.
Who?
Ralph Macchio. I tried to get him to come on. The Karate Kid.
Karate Kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw your tweet last night. You must have been watching The Karate Kid Part 2.
I was.
Daniel-san.
I was.
Daniel-san. Wax on?
Which I think was far better than the original and way better than the third.
Oh, yeah. The Karate Girl. What was that all about, The Karate Girl?
Yeah, the Karate Chick. She was just pretending to be a karate girl until she became a guy in that indie film and won an Oscar for it.
Oh, it's just the original Karate Kid was the best.
Oh, what movie was that? That's going to bug the crap out of me.
Which one?
The one where she won the Oscar.
Oh, it was...
Damn it.
Boys Don't Cry.
Boys Don't Cry. There you go.
That's it. Okay, so for everybody out there still hanging in there with us, we appreciate you coming by. Ross and Todd, thank you very much for donating your time to this worthy
thank
cause.
You.
Thank and, you. This is great. I look forward to it.
This is going to be something I look forward to every day of the week because my normal job over at Black Sky Radio, which, by the way, here's a shameless plug, go listen right now because Classic Roads with Scott Rhodes is playing. And you need to get your tunage on. And then don't forget, Jenna and I will be on live 2 to 7 Central Standard Time every day, Monday through Friday, which is why this whole thing came about, because Todd and Ross both enjoy not only the music but the banter on a daily basis. So for everybody here at What's the Point, don't forget, ask yourselves every day, what's the point?
Goodbye.
What's the point?